And now it's time for the Wildside News with your host, Sydney Wildsmith.
With all the giant stories about nature these days, the hurricanes, tornadoes, mudslides, and now once again, the looming specter of oil derricks in the Alaska National Wildlife Refuge, things can get a little gloomy. So today, we look on the bright side. We look at how the good is growing from the bad. We lighten up with a series of the best nature jokes, and then brighten up with a look at living the solar life. It's all ahead when your voice of the earth continues here on the Wild Side News.
Welcome back to the Wildside News, and now, Sydney Wildsmith.
It was just over a year ago that the final debates between the presidential candidates were finishing up. And I remember our incumbent president sharing with us the fact that being president was a lot of hard work. He used that phrase three or more times. It's a lot of hard work. Well, it's no secret that funding for the protection of our living systems is no tiptoe through the tulips either. It's a lot of hard work, but someone's got to do it. Part of the problem for those of us who get it, that our lives and the entire living matrix within which we live are intimately connected, is that that very sense of being one with nature almost precludes our ever escaping the sense that much is not right on good old planet Earth. And until we can pack up our stuff and shove off to another planet, this is our global neighborhood. And here's a somewhat painful truth. A lot of us have a reputation for being just a bit too serious, always walking around ready to let people know just how serious it is, that life is fragile, that the miraculous interdependence of living systems, once upset, will begin to fall like broken glass in a picture window. So we carry a lot of the burden, and there's rarely a lot of humor associated with gatherings of nature people or environmentalists. So that's what today's show is about. Because just like our president, who even though it was such hard work, endured because it was his job and it was worth it to him to bring about a better world, well, our efforts are paying off. We begin today's show with a look at the good side of the bad side, of course, following today's news. Then we do a practice run at having a little fun when we dedicate segment two to some of the best nature jokes. And then, in our last segment, we lighten up some more when we explore living the solar life. There's a lot of great news coming from that realm. So, it's a great show today. And we'll jump right in following this week's news. So now, the news. As many as 200 million monarch butterflies may migrate to Mexico this year, a nearly tenfold increase over 2004, when unfavorable weather, pollution, and deforestation caused a drastic decline in the population. Last year, fewer than 23 million monarchs survived long enough to leave habitats in the United States and Canada for sanctuaries in the states of Mexico, which borders Mexico City and neighboring Michoacán state. The monarch's annual journey from eastern Canada and the U.S. is a legacy wonder which attracts 200,000 visitors per year. However, economic pressures have forced local residents into cutting down substantial forests to which the monarchs migrate, which has for decades devastated the overwintering sites. However, in an effort to protect the forests, the butterflies, and the economics they bring, authorities have stepped up prosecution of illegal logging within the sanctuaries. This year, a 15-office police force, take two. This year, a 15-officer police force will patrol the butterfly areas. As well, local officials are developing economic alternatives to alleviate pressures by locals to cut forests for wood and for subsistence farming and thus discourage illegal logging. Authorities plan to open four major sanctuaries to tourists on November 19th. Hurricane Wilma last month devastated a fragile coral reef off the coast of Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula. The storm's three-day rampage along the eastern coast of the Yucatan severely damaged a 25-mile stretch of delicate reefs off the island of Cozumel. Estimates are that it will take over 100 years for the reefs to recover, even with the efforts being undertaken to repopulate the reefs. Alfredo Arellano, regional director of Mexico's National Protected Natural Areas Commission, stated that whole colonies of corals were torn from their original site and tossed into the abyss. Cozumel's delicate coral gardens form part of an archipelago of reefs stretching for hundreds of miles southward to the coast of Honduras, comprising the largest reef system in the hemisphere. A team of 10 divers and conservationists have begun rebuilding sections of the damaged reef, using pneumatic drills to bore holes in the seabed rocks to attach loose coral fragments with epoxy cement. Arellano said restoration work was painstaking, and he hoped that volunteer sport divers in the Cancun area could help. As with so many of President Bush's objectives recently, it seems even the ANWR initiative to open drilling in the Alaska National Wildlife Refuge is beginning to shake support even from the formerly stalwart Republican camp. A vote may come as early as today on the provisions in the House. The Senate has already passed their budget bill, which includes ANWR in its provisions. On Tuesday, 25 House Republican moderates sent House leaders a letter asking them to remove ANWR from the budget reconciliation bill. Several of them, including 3 members from Connecticut, have said they'll never vote for the budget bill as long as opening ANWR is in it. To pass, Republicans can lose no more than 13 of their 231 votes, assuming all Democrats vote against it. And Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi of California said they will. Even if ANWR is not in the House bill, the refuge could be open for development this year. Before final approval, House and Senate negotiators will have to draft a compromise bill, at which time the ANWR provision could be included. And that's the news. And now a few reminders. For those of you heading to the archives and checking out what's happened in our previous shows, I just want to let you know that they're being updated, and we're transferring a lot of the files actually from all of last year onto a new server, so you're going to find those files not available until we get that done, which is going to take a little bit of time, but we'll have the information posted on the web. So if you find yourself hitting kind of a dead end for a bit here when you go to the archives and check on old shows, just be patient, and we'll have these all restored and available as soon as we can. We now give tribute to the hard workers who keep up the struggle to spread the truth that nature is the prime mover on this planet, and as such, we'd better not mess with it. But boy, do we pay a price. Here's something that troubles me, and likely troubles you a bit too, and if not, it probably should. Those of us who speak out, who take action and educate, keep the fires of enlightening the truth that nature is under siege, are sometimes considered to be a bit on the dour side of life. We turn our glowering analysis on a lot of the fun stuff that most people take for granted. Like SUVs, undoubtedly the most popular vehicle in America. We turn upscale soccer moms into gaggles of insensitive gasoline groupies guilty of global gastronomic gluttony. Not exactly a fun bunch, we. Or fish. One of the newest edible fashion statements, ranking with Starbucks and iPods and Jettas in a bling-happy vision of the bliss-filled life, until we ruined it with all of our talk about bottom dredging and bycatch. We took the backbone out of that trend. And what about unfettered capitalism, the drug-hazed intoxicant of the Ayn Rand Church of Power, wealth, and in-your-face pumped-upness? Why, there were public lands filled with oil, gas, coal, timber, waiting to be transformed into even greater wealth and consolidation of power, except we keep bringing in ordinary citizens whose homes and towns stand in the way and mess up even the most well-hidden changes in regulatory controls. Spoilers, it's no fun, really, particularly when most of us actually just want to wake up on no particular morning to hear our native birds welcoming the new day's sun, lighting a clear sky whose clean air brings life to the forests and mountains, streams and wild places, to which we and our children's children can rely. It's really the dream of most Americans, and quite literally people all over the earth. Those wacky environmental nuts, the Earth Tribe, always empowering the spillage of power for the sake of some poetic dream of wonder or nature or bears or something. It's a lot of hard work, and we've been doing it for a long time. Some things have lasting value through the generations. We read the ancient tales like the rabbit and the hare to our children because there is a common sense to them that transcends time and progress. The rabbit and the hare. The rabbit was flashy and quick and smart and cunning, while the hare was steadfast and plodding, slow and steady. It's a bit awkward to force the question on you, but which one are we? Most everyone wants to be that dashing hare. Sometimes I am, and then I put on that environmental shell and keep moving forward. And years later, as the season's storms rage against the constructs of man, laying them waste, be they homes or hubris, moorings or mansions, there are many amongst us who have the right to say, "We tried to warn you, but you wouldn't listen." And now those SUVs drive the larger uncertainty of future supplies of oil, and the SUVs are suddenly the broken toys of the once happy masses, and many amongst us have every reason to say, "We've been trying to talk about this for years." And the sons and daughters strapped in the back seats of SUVs humming along by the soccer moms of today will someday brag to their children that they actually saw a live gorilla when they were a child, for they were gone as the forests were cut by native people to pay for the water, to cook their food, and take their medicines for AIDS. It's a somber truth, a painful vision, and from that we draw the hope. Let me repeat. From the spoils come the seeds of change, because the sad truth of which we spoke is now touching everyone, and they too now see the changes. They too are affected by the raging change of unfettered global corporatization, whose profits soar on uncertainty. Slowly, people are beginning to look around for answers. The SUV now drives in the shadow of the Prius. Chevron, BP, and Shell are taking out full-page ads as champions of the new hydrogen future. Investors from around the world are seeking out sustainable solutions for energy, water, building, lighting, homes, and health. So here's the really good news. We are the new agents of change. Not full out yet, but it is just a matter of time. We who have carried this warning about our consumption, depletion of natural resources, destruction of habitats, the collapse of ecosystems, that burden is lifting. Our audience is growing. Our voices are rising. Our work is paying off. Yes, leading is a very hard job. It's a lot of hard work. But real leaders maintain and serve the people. It's the deep soul of democracy that the truth eventually wins out. We are heading through the door into a whole new room full of opportunities. And when we return, we loosen this all up and take time to laugh when we bring you the best nature jokes on good old planet Earth.
When your voice of the Earth returns here on the Wild Side News.